Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the maiden investor call of Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Riddhant Kapoor from Ernst & Young LLP. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kapoor.
Thank you, Michelle. Very good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining in on the maiden investor call of Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited. I am Riddhant Kapoor from Ernst & Young LLP, and we are the investor relations partners for Shriram Pistons and Rings. To give you all an overview of the company and its performance, we have with us Mr. Krishna Kumar Srinivasan, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Prem Rathi, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Pankaj Gupta, Head Legal and Company Secretary. The company's investor presentation has already been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on the company's website, and we hope you all have had an opportunity to go through the same. Before we begin, I would like to draw out the fact that for the purpose of today's call, we shall be referring to the released financial results for the quarter ended 31st December 2023. We would humbly request you all to stick to these financials and refrain from asking any questions related to the full year performance. Also, let me remind you that this discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It may be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Krishna Kumar for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Riddhant. Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the company, I would like to express our sincere gratitude to each one of you joining our maiden investor call today. Being it our first interaction with the investor and analyst community at large, I would like to take some time to establish who we are and what we do for those who might be new to our company. The company was incorporated in 1963 in the name of Shama Pistons and Rings Limited and was taken over by our founder, Dr. Charat Ram, in 1972 and renamed to Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited, or SPRL as we call it today. Dr. Charat Ram played a significant role in shaping the Indian industry, was a pillar and the face of the Indian industry for a long time. He made history by bringing the Honda genset and Honda cars to India under joint ventures and also built SPRL into the leading manufacturer of pistons, piston rings, piston pins and engine valves. This success is attributed to our rich heritage spanning over five decades, marked by numerous achievements including technology collaborations with international leaders and establishment of our advanced technology center. Before delving into these aspects, let me provide an overview of our business model. We manufacture pistons, piston pins, piston rings, and engine valves for almost all the leading OEMs and aftermarket distribution in India, as well as for exports. Our products are marketed and distributed under our well-known, renowned brands, SPR and Usha. Both the brands are very well recognized both domestically and globally. We manufacture our products in four facilities, two located in Uttar Pradesh in Ghaziabad and Bulandshahr, one in Rajasthan in Pathredi, and one in Madhya Pradesh in Pitampur. Our manufacturing lines are fungible, which means that we can produce the respective products on earmarked lines based on changes in demand for a specific segment of the auto industry. This gives us the added advantage to be able to cater to demand effectively and optimize our operations. Please also note that our Madhya Pradesh unit comes under our wholly owned subsidiary, SPR Engineers Limited, we call it SEL. Apart from these, under SEL, we also have two more facilities, which I'll be talking about later. to cater to our major OEM customers and to ensure that we meet the just-in-time demands of our customers efficiently, we have set up 5 assembly units in Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu and Gujarat, where most of the OEMs have their manufacturing setups. As a company, innovation is in our DNA and we have always focused on improving our products and been able to provide complete and comprehensive solutions for the high technology new generation engines. We accomplished this feat via our ultra modern state of art technology center established in 2014, which serves as a comprehensive product development facility. Our technology center holds recognition from the Department of Scientific and Industrial Research, Government of India. Within this facility, we have also developed solutions for green hydrogen, flex fuel, and natural gas engines, positioning us well to adapt to evolving industry trends. At this facility, we even do engine testing for our customers. Our access to cutting-edge technology is complemented by 4 long-standing technology collaborations with prominent global leaders in the automotive components sector. Our longest standing partnership dates back to 1972 with the Kolben-Schmidt Group, focusing on piston manufacturing. Additionally, since 1989, we have maintained a partnership with Honda Foundry Japan for pistons specific to Honda requirements globally. Our collaboration with Riken Corporation from Japan, established in 1978, pertains to rings production. And the one with Fuji Japan, established in 1993, revolves around engine valve technology. These strategic partnerships over decades, combined with our extensive manufacturing acumen and expertise, have really propelled us to our current position of prominence. Now moving to the segments we cater to. A large chunk, approximately 81% of our standalone revenue in FY23, was from the domestic market, including business from OEMs and aftermarkets, where we catered to a diverse range of product segments like the commercial vehicles, the passenger vehicles, tractors, 2- and 3-wheelers, off-highway vehicles, industrial engines, railway engines, and for various defense applications. We have a solid market presence across all these product segments and have enduring relationships with all the prominent players of these segments. Our list of market clientele includes the giants of the auto industry, namely Tata's, Maruti Suzuki, Mahindra's, Bajaj, Hero, Eicher, John Deere, Escorts, Kubota, Cummins, Honda, TVS, Ashok Leyland, Bharat Benz, Hyundai, Renault, Nissan, ITL, TAFE and CNH among others. Regarding our export activities which contribute 19% of the standalone revenue in FY23, we hold the leading position as exporters of our products with a presence in over 45 countries spanning 5 continents. We maintain enduring supply agreements with our key customers who are prominently OEMs on a global scale with Volkswagen, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Honda, Fiat, Fuso, Caterpillar, Wabco, Renault, AGCO, Suzuki, Kubota, Cummins, Yanmar and Perkins are some of the leading global OEMs that are our key customers and have been there for a long time. Now that we have established ourselves as a leading manufacturer of pistons, rings, pins and engine valves globally, you may think if we are doing anything to augment our growth further. And I'm happy to share that we definitely are. We are diversifying our product portfolio and moving into newer segments, which would ensure that we continue growing in the long term and continue to de-risk our business model. Through our wholly owned subsidiary, SPR Engineers Limited, SEL, we have recently made 2 acquisitions. The first one is the acquisition of a 66% stake in EMF Innovations Private Limited. We call it as EMFI. EMFI is a young technology company operating in the electric vehicle space, EV space. We leverage Singapore's strong power electronics research base and India's extensive manufacturing ecosystem to deliver cost-effective and reliable electric motors and controllers for green mobility applications. Through our R&D and manufacturing facility in Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu, we manufacture electric motors and controllers which have applications across passenger vehicles, two and three-wheelers, commercial vehicles like buses and trucks, and also for various other applications. Through this acquisition, we have marked our foray into the EV component segment. We will be amongst the top few companies supplying electric motors and controllers together, sized for specific applications for our customers. We have capabilities and capacities to manufacture motors and controllers for applications ranging right from 250 watts to 300 kilowatts across all segments. We are in the process of building a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility near to our existing facility in Coimbatore. Moreover, to further augment our technical capabilities, we also have technical collaboration agreements with GLE Motors and Lingbo Controllers, helping us in developing certain India-related applications and in line with the Government of India drive towards Atmanirbharta. Another acquisition that we have done recently is a 62% stake in Takahata Precision India Private Limited, we call it as TPI, in October 2023 for high-precision plastic injection molded parts for automotive applications. TPI has technical collaboration with Takahata Japan, which is a leading high-precision injection molded parts manufacturing company globally. TPI has a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in Neemrana, Rajasthan, which enables TPI to conduct end-to-end operations right from designs to manufacturing to inspection, all under one roof. These acquisitions of EMFI and Takahata mark our foray into ICE agnostic products. As an outcome of all our efforts over the years to ensure that we provide only the best quality products to our customers, the company has received several awards from various industry bodies. The Sword of Honor from the British Safety Council, the Gold Award in Exports from the Federation of Indian Exports Organization, FIO, the Lakshman Rao Kirloskar Award for Best Foundry of the Year by the Institute of Indian Foundrymen, and various other awards from CII, ACMA, Engineering Export Promotion Councils, and others. Other than this, we have also received several awards from OEMs from across different segments like passenger vehicles, two and three wheelers, commercial vehicles, and other areas. In 2022, we were amongst the top companies to have received the Golden Peacock Award for Excellence in Corporate Governance from IOD in a function held in London. Also in 2022, we challenged the TPM Award again for the third time and ensured that we cleared the TPM certification, which was won by us from Japan Institute of Plant Maintenance, JIPM. At the heart of our organization lies the conviction that our team is our greatest strength. Anchored by a robust leadership team, we benefit from seasoned professionals, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years, fostering a deep-rooted commitment to our mission and values. We have implemented a meticulous system to identify and nurture the top talent, ensuring a continuous influx of skilled individuals who align with our vision. Moreover, our investment in cultivating a strong leadership pipeline ensures a sustainable succession plan and fosters innovation. Providing invaluable oversight and guidance, our expert board of directors enrich our strategic decisions, propelling us towards excellence and enduring success with speed. We are also committed to being a responsible corporate citizen and have embedded sustainability in every realm of our value chain. We have achieved several milestones in our ESG journey, like three of our plants having the status of zero liquid discharge and state-of-the-art ETP and STP. Further, we have achieved a 20% reduction in Scope 2 emissions, a 20% increase in the mix of renewable energy, solar power and wind power, and a 30% increase in the use of recycled material. We are also very active in CSR and run various campaigns which have positively impacted more than 90,000 beneficiaries collectively. In terms of governance, we are stringent and have strong corporate governance frameworks in place, duly demonstrated by the Golden Peacock Award that I stated earlier. That is more or less all about our business. I hope you all have a better understanding about it than before joining this call. Now allow me to spend some time on taking you through the industry and where it is headed. India's auto component sector plays a pivotal role in driving the growth of the automotive industry, both domestically and globally. With a rich ecosystem of manufacturers, suppliers and innovators, India has emerged as a key player in the global automotive supply chain as global OEMs seek to de-risk their supply chain. According to the industry reports, the Indian auto components industry is expected to grow at a 15% CAGR, CAGR, to reach approximately $200 billion by 2026. The engine components, the segment we operate in, will continue to hold a major chunk in the future as well. Our country boasts a robust network of auto components manufacturers renowned for their quality, reliability and cost effectiveness. From pistons, engine valves to electronic components and safety systems, Indian companies produce a diverse range of components that are integral to vehicles. The push of the government, like tightening norms to get the industry in sync with global standards, and their focus on schemes like Make in India, bodes well for our industry. I would also like to draw attention to the electric vehicles industry, since we have marked our foray into EV as well. The EV industry is experiencing a transformative shift driven by the urgent need to mitigate air pollution and embrace sustainable mobility solutions. With a growing emphasis on clean energy, the adoption of electric vehicles has emerged as a key priority for policymakers, industry stakeholders, and consumers alike. We anticipate a continued rise in the penetration of electric vehicles, supported by the ambitious targets set by the government. Proactive measures, including incentives, subsidies, and investments in charging infrastructure, are being undertaken to expedite the EV adoption, fostering an ecosystem conducive to widespread integration. While we project a long-term growth in the EV sector, there are certain challenges which would impede vertical growth. These challenges encompass high battery costs and addressing of the power infrastructure limitations. Moreover, from a sustainability standpoint, the impact on the environment has to be understood from a well-to-wheel perspective. The significant surge in demand, especially with a fleet of over 150 million vehicle park across categories, underscores the necessity for substantial power generation infrastructural development from sustainable sources, a process that will unfold gradually in line with the government push. Additionally, I would also like to highlight that the emergence of EV imports from China and the adoption of Indian applications poses unique considerations, as the Indian market demands larger vehicles tailored to accommodate families. Recognizing this, our investment in EMFI reflects our commitment to developing customized solutions grounds up, aligned with the India's demographic realities. Amidst these developments, the conventional internal combustion engine and the industrial engines in its various forms are looking towards greener solutions like hybrid, CNG, LNG, hydrogen-powered vehicles, HCNG, where hydrogen is blended with CNG, and other flex fuels. And we believe that these engines, along with EV, are poised to coexist to meet the inherent demand of the growing market. Now, I will just quickly take you through the key standalone SPRL financial highlights. I would like to highlight that we will only be discussing about the released financials and will not be giving any guidance on future performance on this call. In the last few years, we have worked with a huge amount of focus on increasing the productivity in all our business functions, improving the quality of our products, while also working and improving efficiencies in terms of the speed and execution of our operations. All these factors have enabled us to achieve positive results in the last few years that are sustainable and give us the confidence to continue to perform well in the future as well. Let me give you some highlights on the historical financial performance so far. You can also refer to all our financial performance results in the presentations that is uploaded already on our website. Revenue from operations have grown from ₹16,068 million in FY20 to ₹26,050 million in FY23, a CAGR of 17.5%. During the same period, EBITDA grew at a strong CAGR of 36.2% from ₹2,018 million in FY20 to ₹5,097 million in FY23. And the EBITDA margins expanded from 12.4% in FY20 to 19.2% in FY23. Our PAT for FY20 was at ₹730 million, and for FY23 was at ₹2,956 million, a robust CAGR of 59.4%. Our PAT margin has also expanded significantly from 4.5% in FY20 to 11.1% in FY23. Now moving on to the highlights for the 9 months in FY24 as compared to 9 months of FY23. Our revenue grew by 13.8% to reach ₹21,724 million from the ₹19,083 million in the corresponding period of the previous fiscal. Profitability has recorded a strong growth in the 9 month period this year. EBITDA was up by 46.2% year on year, was at ₹5,208 million as compared to ₹3,563 million in the 9 months of FY23. Our EBITDA margin expanded by 495 basis points to 23.3% in the 9 months of financial year of 24, which stood at 18.4% in the 9 months of financial year 23. Our PAT recorded a robust growth of 60.7%, reaching to ₹3,262 million in the 9 months for the financial year 24, as against ₹2,030 million in the 9 months of financial year 23. Our PAT margin stood at 14.6%, as against 10.5% in the 9 months of FY23, an expansion of 438 basis points. Our ROE and ROCE as at the end of financial year 23 stood at 19.3% and 23.8% respectively. Our debt to equity remains low at 0.24 times as at the end of FY23. The company is generating positive cash from operations to tune of ₹3,992 million as at the end of FY23. We also maintain a robust credit profile with a credit rating of AA stable from India Ratings and Research. We have always been focused to creating value for our shareholders and have been doing so for various years by giving out dividend and bonuses regularly. In this financial year, we have done a bonus issue of shares in June 2023 in the ratio of 1:1. To stress on the fact that we care about all our stakeholders and shareholders, let me give you a quick fact. If we account for all the bonus issues since 1991, a shareholder holding one equity share of our company in 1991 would now have 96 equity shares due to the bonuses we have given so far to all our shareholders. Till date for FY24, we have announced an interim dividend of ₹5 per equity share. Now, to conclude, I would like to state that we have the right business strategies in place to ensure a long-term success and growth of the franchise. Central to our approach are meticulously crafted core strategies that align with our objectives and market demands. Recognizing the importance of diversification risk mitigation, we strategically engage in mergers and acquisitions to expand our portfolio and safeguard against market volatility, like our acquisitions of EMFI and Takahata. By continuously refining our strategies, we strategically navigate the business landscape, poised for sustainable growth and resilience. As we chart our path forward, our primary focus remains on sustaining the growth momentum, not only in terms of the top line, but also bolstering the bottom line. Amidst our pursuit of growth and success, we persistently uphold the principles of integrity, conducting every aspect of our business with an ethical resolve. With this, I would like to come to the end of my call, my talk, and I would request the moderator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sunil M. Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Congratulations for such a wonderful journey during last so many years and starting investor relation and communication. Commendable job you have done. So my first question is on the way you have taken efforts during last 10 years of so many collaboration, technical capabilities, challenges of from ICE to EV and all these things happened global level. And you also mentioned during your talk that the change in supply chain realignment is also a big opportunity. So if you can talk a little bit more about this supply chain realignment in terms of acceptance of global players from the Indian players like you, component supply. So that will be really very helpful.
Thanks, Suniji. Yeah, of course, when I say supply chain realignment, it is basically, many of the global suppliers are looking for competitive solutions from, I would say, low-cost countries. And we have been pitching ourselves with the, kind of technology backing that we have from all our suppliers, from all our partners. We have all the possibilities of meeting the global demands. And that is the reason why we have been able to now export to over 45 countries globally. And you already heard about all the big names that are already there as our customers and the kind of portfolio that we are already supplying to them. So basically it is a matter by which most of the customers globally are looking for good solutions and good partners who will partner with them and service the last IC engine that's made globally. And we have committed ourselves to that journey.
Mm-hmm. So, sir, it's now little speedier acceptance of companies like Shriram Pistons and Indian component manufacturer at a global level because of one is challenges from China and second of their cost which is changing. The global players have taken more resources towards EV research and EV development. Some of the reasons should be like this or anything else you can add to our understanding?
No, we have been, I think the major, reason for us to get business is the technology leadership that we have. You know, unless you have the right technology leadership, you will not be in a position to, be able to supply it globally. So that's the first important reason. The second important part is we have been supplying to global customers for the last now many years, over 15 to 17 years, even before the China issue and China plus one strategy came into place. So we have been always, tied up with most of our partners and we have been doing quite well with them. And there are some customers with whom we are tied up for the last over three decades globally. So it's not, it is the combination of partnership and the combination of, really ensuring that we are able to give just-in-time supplies to all our customers globally. And we do a number of things to make this happen. So that is the reason why we have such a strong partnership with customers abroad.
Great, sir. And sir, last question is, you have done commendable job in terms of distributing very good and reasonable high dividend bonuses. you have created shareholder value. What you want, in your opinion, what's your thought process by starting now this investor communication and relationship? What is your thought process? How will it add value to the all the stakeholders' wealth?
So, as I, you know, as you would have known that, you know, we had earlier hardly less than 3,000 investors, you know, primarily because the float was very low. And subsequently, now over the last over 6 months now, we have seen that the float has increased due to various reasons. And we do have a lot of our investors asking inputs from us, so it has become necessary for us to communicate with our all the investors and ensure that everybody is on the same page, and that's the reason why we have started the investor calls, and we'll continue to do so, and we expect to, you know, on a timely basis give inputs to all our investors in terms of the performance of the company as well as in terms of some of the important strategic directions the company is taking from time to time.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot and congratulations again for good work you are doing. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Sunilji.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Agarwal from Niveshaay Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on the very good set of numbers over the years, sir. So my first question would be, sir, what would be the industry size of the EV segment that you have recently acquired, sir?
Well, can you please read on the EV segment?
EV okay. Segment.
Yeah, Dhruvji, you are asking about the EV segment market.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So let me highlight this. You know, the unique part about EMF Innovations is that it manufacture. We have done a grounds up activity to manufacture the markets required for the Indian requirements. So we now manufacture products right from 250 watts right up to 300 kilowatts. As a result, what happens is we are in a position now to supply to all segments of the market. You know, we supply to the two-wheelers, three-wheelers. We supply to passenger cars, we supply to, you know, LCV, SCV applications and also to MCV applications today. And many of our products are under testing, it's under validation, and lot of you know, activities are going on to grow the business there. So the whole segment of the market that is available for electrification is also the market that is available for us to manufacture both electric motors and controllers. Now, the unique part is, we will be probably one of the top few companies who will be manufacturing the controllers and the electric motors locally and supplying it, thereby meeting all the Atmanirbharta and at the same time meeting the requirements of our customers.
Understood, sir, right. So what would be the industry size, sir, if you can quantify, and like out of that industry size, what would be your quantification of, or what would be your share, sir, in that?
Well, industry is evolving, so it will be very wrong to say the industry size is limited to this. I think the industry is evolving, as you know, and the EV industry, the penetration today of EV is around 1% of the overall market. And we expect this penetration to keep on increasing, and as it keeps on increasing, our growth also in the EV side will keep on increasing. So, right. I think that is the best that we can, at this stage, inform you.
Right. And sir, what would be the peak revenue from this recently acquired firm that you can add on to the firm, sir? Can you quantify that as well, sir, over the years, so, like in coming years, sir?
You mean the revenue of the EV segment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sir.
So, as you know, it's already there in the public domain. We have done a business of almost 23 crores last year. And we are growing. So there are a lot of huge opportunities that we are working on. And, you know, looking at all the new FAME 2 requirements as well as the FAME 3 requirements and the new requirements put forth by the government, we are probably one of the top few companies who are satisfying all those requirements in terms of localization as well as local homologations. So business is bound to grow.
Right. Okay, sir. And sir, like, where do you see your company like to in like coming 3 years? Where do you see your company, sir?
Which,
sales and as well as EBITDA or profit, sir?
Well, as far as SPRL is concerned, we expect it to continue at the, you know, continue doing well, and there is no reason why we should look at anything lower. And we are also working on other segments like the EV segment and also the plastic injection molded segment, and hence we think that we will continue our growth story in the auto industry.
Okay, very nice, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dhruvji.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan from InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Rohan, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. As the current participant is not answering, we'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Rishit Urvish Zaveri from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand, sir, if we see the margins which you have presented, there's an exceptional expansion from around 12% to around 19%. And if we compare with the industry peers, we are obviously the leaders, but the growth here has been phenomenal. Can you highlight some major contributors here, sir?
Yeah, sure. You know, basically we have, as I said, we have been working on a number of areas, and, you know, it included improving on our capacity utilization, ensuring that we are able to work on multiple multimodal systems of power supplies in terms of, using also the sustainable solutions, bringing in a lot of operational efficiencies and improving productivities, and also looking at our bleeders and ensuring that we are constantly working on improving, the overall margin. So multiple actions have been taken place right from supply chain to our markets, which have really helped us to, grow our top line as well as the bottom line. And I think most of these, the good part is all of these actions are very sustainable, and we expect that it will really help us in the going years.
Yes, sir. And one more question, sir. What's our vision as a management for the next 3 to 5 years as a company? Where do we see ourselves in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, going at the the growth rate of the CAGR that we have achieved so far, so my expectations is to improve further on the CAGR. So there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that, and we are looking at at various ways of improving our top line and bottom line as a group, because with multiple actions taking place on acquisitions, mergers, there is no limitation, with the kind of money that we are generating. So it will be wrong to put only a target. Our targets are very, very steep, and we expect that based on the market demand, we will continue to grow the business, and it is going to be a positive story.
Yes, sir. And this is the last question here. The recent acquisitions of EMF and Dhaka Hatta, are we expecting any new capex in the coming year? And these acquisitions?
Well, we as management always believe that we have to continue to grow the business, grow the franchise. Whether it is, as I said in my talk, that we expect many of the technologies to coexist, which means the EV will coexist, the, IC engines will coexist in various forms, whether it is in hybrid or in, flex fuels or in hydrogen, blended CNG, etc. So there is going to be multiple areas on which we will continue to work to improve our technology and improve our offerings to our customers. So it will become necessary for us to ensure that all our businesses, we are necessary to put capex to grow the business. So there will certainly be capex infusions that will happen, and it will continue to happen in all the businesses to grow the business.
That's correct, sir. But do we have any planned figure for FY25, like in terms of quantified number?
Yeah, we do have, but that number is still getting, for the year 24-25, We have a couple of new projects. See, what happens in a growing industry like electrification is there are new acquisitions of businesses that are happening almost on a daily basis. So this figure is continuing to grow and we are improving our capacity. As I said, we have just taken a new piece of land in Coimbatore. We are building up a state-of-art modern facility there and we'll be putting in a lot of money there.
And sir, just the last question to conclude, what would be our current utilization level, around 70-75% or more than that? Across at the...
We continue to work with a very, tight way of managing our capacity utilization. So we are seeing on an average, it is all 75 plus kind of a situation that we see in the businesses that we have invested so far.
Thank you, sir, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to limit their questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Mata from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The question was on domestic revenue mix. Can you just kind of break that out into, how much is to the two-wheeler, four-wheeler segment?
Yeah. So, as I said, if you go through our presentation, which is uploaded in our portal, you'll see that slightly over 50% is coming from our OE segment, and we do have a good mix of aftermarket and exports. Now, what happens in aftermarket and exports is also there is a bifurcation of two-wheelers and the passenger car business. So the mix keeps on changing a little bit. So we don't really publish these numbers. But I can tell you for sure that no one segment of the market, whether it is two-wheeler, whether it is three-wheeler, or whether it is passenger car, is over maybe 17-18% of our overall business.
Okay, that's useful. And sir, you mentioned about, the drivers for margin improvement. I was just trying to, get a sense of, we've already hit about 23% margins in the third quarter. I'm just trying to understand, where do we see any upside to this, or, do you think we would sustain?
Well, as you would have seen from the record of our last 4 years, we have always outperformed the market. So we are hoping that we can do more. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Okay. And so can you talk about, you mentioned about EV orders. Can you speak about order wins or any major customers where you might have bagged some orders?
Yeah, we have bagged a number of orders, and we are, since most of these orders are under validation phase, homologation phase, there are a lot of, of course, series supplies are also going on. So it will be wrong on my part to give the names at this stage, because most of the customers are wanting us to hold it confidential and they've signed non-confidentiality agreements. So we can't have the disclosures of those names at this stage.
But can you highlight any kind of lost order book that you might have, or, potentially you could win in the next 12 months, anything that you can kind of indicate?
We don't give those figures, but you can be rest assured that we will grow the business. When we are not going to invest such a huge piece of money in our for buying a new piece of land and building a new modern ultra facility if we don't have business, right? Our business commitments.
Sorry, sir, I missed out. What is the investment? What is the quantum of investment?
It's already there in the public domain. I think it's over 700 million.
Okay. And just one last point, how should we think about, your growth in, especially in the domestic OEMs? We have most of the ancillary companies highlighting that, whatever the market growth is, they would grow about, anywhere between 3, 5, 7% above that.
Let me answer this last question of Mr. Sure. Mar. So basically, Maharaji, that, we continue to, as I said, even the domestic business, we are continuing to outgrow the market. And this comes from various possibilities of penetrations into markets which we have not penetrated earlier, getting into new customers, and also trying to ensure that we completely support our existing customers on all their new programs. So this will continue, this drive will continue and continue to grow the business share.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Chirag Uttam Jain from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you share some thought process in terms of the new product categories or segments that you would like to enter, both organic and inorganic? I mean, you may not give specific categories, but the overall thought process as to what all the segments would be relevant to us in the overall scheme of things?
Yes, Chirag-ji. So certainly, you know, we are looking at various segments, and as I said, with all the work that we did over the last now, in less than 3 years, we have closed two mergers and acquisitions. And if you see the product portfolio, we have tried to maintain it to be within the automotive realm, because we are experts in that field and we know that we have a good reach with all our customers, and we would prefer to be within this field. So with that in mind, I think our direction is more towards, since we are very well impregnated into the IC engine space, which includes also the hybrids and the non-EV applications like the flex fuels as well as others, we would like to certainly look at areas which are agnostic to the IC engines, which means any product or any portfolio, product portfolio which is not, which is going to be there both in IC engine as well as EV vehicles, is an area that we would be looking at. We have done some high degree of work on this, and we are continuously working to see how we can progress on this. For example, in Takahata, the products that we make goes into steering applications, it goes into seat belt applications, it goes into body parts, it goes into trims, trim applications, it goes into multi rooftop applications. So there are a number of applications that it is going into. So similarly, we are looking for products which can go into multiple areas within the automotive realm.
Thank you, sir. One more question on the aftermarket side, because that's a fairly big part of your revenue, almost 26% as you shared in the presentation. And it's also clear as to what kind of initiatives we are doing on the aftermarket business and in terms of the growth outlook for that piece in particular?
Yeah. Aftermarket is all about reach. So we have focused over the last many years now to ensure that we have all the right touch points across the country. I'm very happy to state that we have over 1,200 touch points across the country today. And we have multiple distribution network only in India. And we are also supplying to over, 45 countries, which includes both, for OEMs as well as for aftermarket applications. And we supply to many of them with our partners across various countries. So it's all about getting the reach, and I think I'm very happy to state that we have a very, very good reach, and we can use this network very usefully. And this network is also trained for doing a lot of service-related issues in case the issue comes up. And this network will also be used for all our EV applications.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Piyush Parag from Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. And congratulations for a really good presentation. So a few questions I have regarding a couple of questions. First, if you can just throw some light on, customer concentration that you have for both of your domestic and exports, maybe top three, top five customers, how they look. The other questions would be like more how do you see this, any of your new businesses, either from the product or maybe from the customer? How do you target for, say, suppose FY24 or maybe FY25-26? How do you see this new business will contribute going forward, and what is kind of the trend that you have seen? So if you can put some color on that, and probably your capex, how do you look the capex to be? What is your growing capex? What is your maintenance capex? So these are two questions from my side. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Piyush ji, basically as I said, you know, we supply to almost all the OEMs in the country, you know, and then it at different segments, point in time, different customers become our top three. You know, it moves up and down based on the segment of the industry that we work on. Sometimes a two-wheeler manufacturer will come in the top three, and sometimes he may drop from the top three. So that's why we don't really spell out our top three customers. But you can be rest assured, as I said, all the top names which I read out in my message just now are there in the top bracket, which includes Maruti Suzuki, Mahindra, Tatas, Bajaj, Hero, you know, Escorts and others, and Cummins.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand that a new business contribution would be how much? I mean, just what do you like target to have like for this year, 2025, 2026? How would be your new business contributions would be? From that you have.
Yeah, Piyushji, you see, when the market is growing at a CAGR of 3 to 5%, and we are growing at a rate of around 15% or 14-15%. You can be rest assured that we are breaking into newer markets, newer segments of the business, and trying to outgrow the business. So we will continue to invest in all the technologies and capacities, always ahead of the market, you know, So we believe in growing our business that way and ensuring that we have sustainable businesses from all our customers. So we have continued to do that, and we will continue to do that.
Okay, that's great. And just some sense on the CapEx, how do you look at the CapEx?
As I said, you know, you can see the CapEx figures that are already there in our, you know, in the public domain. And we plan to invest similar numbers. There are also very specific areas where we are trying to grow the business with new businesses coming in. And that's the, you know, the 700 million that we talked about putting in Coimbatore for growing our electric vehicle portfolio, along with MOU that has been signed with the Tamil Nadu government with a new plant coming up in Coimbatore. All that is the CapEx that we'll be putting in for growing the EV business, including the way that we'll be growing all our existing business. You know, the existing business also, we are continuing to put our money regularly and keeping investing to on newer technologies. For example, we have to continuously work on, you know, newer technologies like the hydrogen pistons, piston for hydrogen applications, pistons with hydrogen blended CNG applications. All this undergoes, the piston undergoes a massive change with the change in the fuel, and we have to continue to invest in these capital.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Piyush. Thanks a lot.
I will get back, sir.
Surely.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of NGN Puranik from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for a wonderful presentation. I have a question on your technology group, because you seem to be making some complex engineering product. It's not easy for everyone to make this. And you have two collaborations, plus you have a robust R&D, and you have done a couple of acquisitions. So all this brings a lot of process technology to the table. So I want to understand what are these two technologies, where the formal agreements you have are contributing to your process today, plus also your own R&D. If you can give a complete view of your technology focus and processes, that will be wonderful.
Surely, surely. You know, so basically, you know, in if you really see our the technology agreements that we have technology agreements with four of our partners, you know. One is for manufacturing of pistons and piston-related technologies. And the second one is for manufacturing of piston rings and its technologies. And the third one is with Fuji Osex for manufacturing of engine valves. We also have the fourth technology agreement with Honda Foundry, which again requires a very unique piston manufacturing technology, which is applicable only for Honda cars across the globe. And we can, once we have started supplies to Honda, we can supply anywhere in the globe with that technology. So those are the technology partnerships that we have, which have ensured that we have grown our business with, especially on our legacy business with these partners. Similarly, we plan to grow our business, the newly acquired business of Takahata. We plan to, that's why we have the Takahata Japan still holding around 38% of the ownership of the company, because we believe in partnership and we believe in sitting on the same side of the table to work on strategies for the business. And that is how we have been able to, ensure that we are able to get into newer businesses as far as Takahata is also concerned. And the same way, even with EMF International, we have EMF partners who are sitting in Singapore, working, sitting with us with a 34% stake and continuing to grow the business in EMFI. So this is our strategy: ensure that we have the right technology partners, ensure that we are able to put in the capex and grow the business.
My question is, when you have technology partnerships, they provide certain processes and then you absorb those processes. Do you see every year an incremental value add coming from these technology guys, or they are there just for a decorative value?
No. They actually, these technology partners have to, when we sit with the technology partners, we actually, it actually gives us an example of what not we should do to be able to survive in India.
Excellent. That's a greater advice.
Let me give you an example. For example, if you see an electric motor, I know I used to live in China for almost 5 years, okay? And if you see in China, most of the electric vehicles are single owner driven. You will hardly see a Chinese two-wheeler going with four people sitting on the motorcycle or on the vehicle. Now, if you bring the motor and controller from that Chinese manufacturer and try to put it in a vehicle here, you have seen the result, what is happening. Everything is burning and you are getting hundreds of heating issues and this and that. So many things happening, right? But whereas in what we have done is we have done grounds up. We have ensured that make the product which is ideal for Indian conditions. We have done engineering on it. We have ensured that it is able to take the required torque and speed levels and able to require kilowatt ratings to ensure that we give the best efficiency of the motor, thereby reducing the drain on the battery. We also, in some applications, we also have given motors coupled with a step-up gearboxes to ensure that we get very high efficiencies of the motors. Now, these are the work that needs to be done locally, because the conditions are very, very typical to India. These are not where you can just blindly bring a product or a process from abroad and fit it. But we know for sure that whatever has been tried, we don't want to go through the route where we go through multiple iterations on issues which have been time-tested elsewhere in the globe, so that we spend more time in development as per the requirement of the country and not wasting our time on developments which should not in the country.
So they help you to localize technology or a design to the market condition here.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take the next question from the line of Dhruv Mudarati from BP Wealth. Please go ahead. As the current participant is not answering, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Ashish Upganlawar from InvestQ. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for this. Sir, from whatever we discussed now, it seems to be the strategy that the acquisitions would be there on the non-IC side, and we are trying to get more and more diversification on the plate. So one would assume that further acquisitions would be in the pipeline. So if you could give us your thought process onto which areas you would be looking at, because I think a couple of acquisitions are on a different wicket, basically into injection molding and into control systems, etc. So what all would come under this, and are we right in understanding that more acquisitions probably would come?
For sure. No, we are ensuring that we are deploying our cash quite well, and we will continue to invest into more mergers and acquisitions. But as I said, even the ones that we have done so far, they are all related to automotive applications. So our strength is in the automotive area, and we want to ensure that we continue to grow in that particular area. Areas where we'll continue to invest for our mergers and acquisitions will be any area which is agnostic to the ICE engine. You know, that is what we have set ourselves a target. There are, you know, there could be a small applications into the ICE engine along with the kind of products for other areas of the car. That could also be a possible acquisition area. So we are looking at all the possibilities, but primarily at areas which are agnostic to the ICE engines, to the powertrain.
Okay. And the two subsidiaries that you have, what is the contribution to consolidated revenues and profits right now? And how should we look at the Japanese acquisition that you've done to grow? What are the plans with that company?
You know, what I would suggest is you can look at the nine months results. All the figures are there. You can easily, you know, expand it for the overall this thing as far as the domestic market is concerned.
No, I was inquiring about the Takahata. What is the growth plan maybe for over the next couple of years for that company? How are you planning to expand the revenues for that company?
Yeah, so we will, you know, we continue if the continuation of outgrowing the market is there for all our subsidiaries. You know, they have targets which have been very clearly set for this year, which will ensure that we will outgrow the overall automotive market today. The market is growing at the range of around 5 to 6% CAGR. We want to outgrow this market, so we will continue to do that in Takahata also, and we'll continue to do that in EMFI, and we'll continue to do that in SPRL and SEL. So we have accordingly set targets for ourselves, and you'll see it on a quarter-to-quarter basis how we perform.
Sure. I have more questions, but I don't know whether the time permits now.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from Rehan Lalji from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I don't know if I missed the same, but I just wanted to understand the segmental revenue distribution between your on your standalone front between piston pins and piston rings and engine valves, if you have the data of the same.
Hi, Rehan. As I said, we do not, we sell assemblies. You know, most of the customers buy assemblies. You know, they take the piston, we assemble the piston pin and the piston rings, along with the, you know, in some cases, even with the con rods and give it. You know, so it's very difficult for us to bifurcate the revenue that way.
Okay, so you cannot even give any ballpark estimate of where you get your most revenue from?
Well, it is fairly, broken down between all the segments of the product portfolio that we have today. So even in SPRL, the pistons, the piston rings, engine valves, depending on the kind of product that we have, of course, there's a small variation in the overall turnover. But more or less, it is well equated.
Understood. And at your, I'm talking about your standalone entity, what is the peak potential revenue you assume you can do from your current, I think, 5 manufacturing plants? What's the peak kind of number do you think you can do from the current 5?
Again, that's a very typical crystal ball gazing that we will have to do. But for us, you know, we have committed ourselves to service the last IC engine. That will be there made globally. So for us, the markets are global. We have an outreach up to almost 45 countries today, and there's no reason why we should not do more. And as many of the customers, you know, today the overall penetration of EVs in the market, though initially it was very buoyant, but people have now become more and more realistic to the numbers that are happening, including the hybridization that is happening globally, even including Europe and Japan. And any hybrid business also requires a lot of IC engines, and we are working on programs with customers which are going to probably see the light of day in the 30s. So there is no reason why we should, in any way discount the legacy business. So we expect that we will grow in all segments of the business.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from Shiva from Purnartha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, manager. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is with respect to the gross margin. If I look at your gross margin for the last 10 years, in the initial first 5 years, it was roughly 69%. And in the next half of the 5 years, it fell down to 62%. During this time, I understand the raw material prices have been purchasing, but on a larger scale, it has been stagnant at it. So could you just tell us why this shift in the gross margins in the last 10 years?
Yes, Mr. Shiva, good question. And let me answer it this way that, you know, what has happened is, as the BS6 came into picture, you know, from sometime in 2018-2019, we were amongst the top runners in terms of providing solutions to almost all the customers in India. And we took a tremendous lead in ensuring that we are able to supply the newer designs required for BS6 applications, and thereby changing completely our some of our mix that we had. And over the period of time, we have also continuously also worked on improving our bleeders and ensuring that we are able to improve the overall mix within the portfolio that we have. At the same time, we have seen that the customer mix as well as the segment mix in terms of the products have continuously also been looked at to ensure that we are able to improve our gross margins. So I think we have worked on multiple areas. You know, it's very difficult to pinpoint one area giving a certain percentage. It's a combination of various exercises that we have done over a period of time.
So I was saying that it fell down, right, from 769 odd, so like more than 1,000 bits fall.
No, these, you know, it also, see, you will have to look at the material margins and other things also. So basically, it's a combination of multiple activities.
Okay, thanks. And the second is with respect to your royalty expenses. If I see, so you've been ranging from 2.1 to 1.8% roughly. So my first part is, how are the royalty expenses calculated? Why is it a percentage of sales? And how are the players that we move to? And the second part is, KS Call has said that he'll exit your stock. So is the partnership still hold and the royalty still hold? It's only the exit of stock, or how does that change? Does the royalty expenses reduce going in?
Yeah, again, a good question. Let me answer the second part first. You know, KS, as far as KS existing as our stocks are concerned, it was primarily done by their parent company called Rheinmetall. Because Rheinmetall took a strategic decision of moving more into, post the Ukraine war, they wanted to actually invest more into defense applications in Germany. So they wanted to actually move out of some of the other areas that they were in. It is not only the Kolben Schmidt that they have hived off, but there are many other companies also that they have looked into. So Kolben Schmidt that way came out of Rheinmetall, and that's the reason why Rheinmetall, which was a parent company holding the share, had to, you know, they decided to sell the shares. But as far as Kolben Schmidt is concerned, we continue to have a technical collaboration agreement. In fact, we renewed it just recently, and it's renewed for the next 5 years. So there is no reason why, next 7 years, and there is no reason why we will get out of, because we have had a very long-standing partnership with Kolben Schmidt over the last 5 decades now. And we are very, very close as partners. And as far as the royalty is concerned, it is, you know, most of the royalty that we pay is as per mostly international levels. And it is, you know, as per what is done by technology agreements all across the globe. So we are within those norms. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from NGN Puranik from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
I have one question about how will you manage disruption in the IC engine space, and what are your plans for that? Are you technologically secured in terms of collaborations and all that, or do you need to add more technology collaborators into the space? How will you manage it? How will the revenue scenario look like in the next few years?
Yeah. As far as the technology scenario is concerned, you know, we have, as I said, we started working on building our own technology center some way back in almost a decade back. And, you know, post that, you know, we have trained our people and we have done, we have our own patents also, and we have done a lot of work wherein we can be sure that, you know, we can develop many of the parts ourselves. But at the same time, we are working with our technology partners to continue to, you know, develop newer solutions as is required by the industry. Now, what is exactly, what are the disruptions that are happening in the industry? I already talked about in my speech. The disruption that are happening is that the ICE engines is getting broken up into a number of other, you know, fuel solutions, like going in for hydrogen applications, hydrogen as a fuel application. Second is going for ethanol blending. You know, we have moved up from 20%. We are working on products up to 85% blending. Then it has gone into flex fuels. It has gone into LNG applications, CNG applications. It has gone into hydrogen blending with CNG. So there are a number of areas that we are working on. And we, I'm very happy to state that we are absolutely leading most of these disruptions with along with our customers. So we are working on a number of solutions with our customers and multiple things on the test bed. Luckily, we have our own test benches, and in fact, many of our customers do the testing on our test bench. So it is to world standards. So we are well equipped to face this disruption.
So you will see, you don't see any sudden shocks in from the IC, non-IC space?
As I said, we are present in the ICE space as well as non-IC ICE space. We are all also present in EV motors and controllers. So there is no reason why we should be affected. We will continue to grow in both areas.
And that's a significant portion of your business, motors and controllers?
Yeah, it is going to be.
Oh, so it's 1%
of the market.
That will take a great extent.
So, yeah, yeah, we will also grow.
Hmm. And how will hydrogen
Puranik, I'm sorry,
scenario
sir, I
move up?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Thank you.
I think we have already crossed our time, but you know, I think we'll take another five or seven minutes to try to answer as much as possible.
Sure, sir. Thank you. We'll take the next question from Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Hi, Deepak. Yes.
Yep. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. Sir, just have a thought. I mean, we have a gross margin of 60%, right? And we have been vocal that we look to maintain or improve upon the CAGR we have been doing, which if I have to see last maybe 2 years, we are growing at about 25% CAGR. If I have to assume a similar CAGR going forward with a gross margin of 60%, ideally, because of your leverage only, I feel that your EBITDA margin can see a substantial jump. So just wanted to have your thought on this.
Well, that's one of the scenarios.
Yeah, so is there any aspiration in margin that from a current trajectory of maybe about 21%, we want to look at a trajectory maybe towards 25% over next 3 to 5 years?
Our aim is, you know, we don't our way of working is we try to outgrow the business, outgrow the market, and do all the right things for the business. So when we are doing all the right things, I think the EBITDA and the PAT and PBT are all the end results that will come. So we believe that the end results will be certainly coming in line with all the actions that we are taking. So but we focus on the actions and doing all the right things for the business.
Fair enough. Correct. And my second question is on your capacity. I mean, you said we currently are running at about 75% capacity utilization. So about Combatur, I think new facility which you are working on. So how much capacity that will contribute? And how much capacity increase will happen because of that investment?
Well, there again, it is a combination of motors, controllers, and you know, we are also going to make a combination assemblies and other things. So, it is as per the requirements of the customers, and you know, the numbers there the you know, we are trying to, as one of the statement that I did earlier in my speech was also, we have to ensure that we are putting the capital ahead of the market, because if we don't do that in a business like EV, then you will miss a very good potential possibility of supplying to major customers, and that's not something that we want to do. Now, based on all the recent working that we have done and all the various areas that we are working with our customers, knowing that we are going to win those businesses, it is necessary for us to grow the capacity ahead of the market, and that's exactly what we are doing. And it will be very difficult for me to tell exact numbers, because the lines are fairly fungible, and even in our existing business, lines are fungible. So we can, if one segment of the business goes down, we can always make the other segment of the business on those lines. So in the same way, we are also doing for the other products.
Okay. But what's the optimum capacity utilization?
I would request you to kindly...
It's a follow-up only. I mean, it's the same question.
All right, sir. Please go on.
Yeah. So what's the maximum optimized capacity utilization we can reach? I mean, is it 100%?
Well, we are looking at more than 500,000.
What, 500,000?
500,000 motors and controllers.
No, immediate. I was asking in terms of percentage. I mean, 75%, which is your current utilization level. So, okay, is it possible to reach 100%?
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
Certainly. You know, and not that the capacity is, you know, by small additions of certain bottleneck areas and all that, we can further increase the capacity. So, there is no big, problem in, we have enough piece of land. We have always believed in ensuring that we have good areas for growth, good physical land area available also for growing the business, and we have enough land in our Pithampur facility. If we have to put up another factory and put up few lines, we will certainly do that.
Fair enough. All the very best to you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chitresh Modi from Unicity Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. But two questions. In your presentation, you have shown that the revenue mix from non-automotive applications is about 3%. And I do understand that you made some acquisitions. So going forward, I don't want any guidance, but what do you think, this particular number should reach at? Would it be 5%, 10% kind of number, or this is more a steady state number that we are looking at?
No, the non-automotive that you see in the presentation is primarily for SPRL, which is a standalone business. That is the standalone business of pistons, rings, and engine valves and others. Okay, so that non-automotive applications are primarily applications like compressors, applications like marine engines, applications like snowmobile applications like scooters driving on the snow and all that. For all those applications, we supply the pistons globally. So those are the non-automotive applications that we are talking about in the presentation. But if I were to look at the consolidated non-automotive application, this is over, I think it should be well crossing to the high 20s.
Okay. And the second question was, post-COVID, when I look at your operating profit margins, and you have shown a fantastic growth in that, almost close to 500 or 600 basis points in the last 3 years. What do you think is the key attribute for such a great margin improvement? Would you say is it a newer technology, newer product, or you would say more it is because of the operational efficiencies at the company level?
So this, I think I answered this question earlier. The same question was asked earlier, and I have already answered it, where I said it's a multiple activities across the entire supply chain, including improving capacities, improving efficiencies, improving productivities, etc., etc.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from Senthil Manikandan K. from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, first question is with respect to our core business. So as the powertrain moves from ICE to hybrids and CNG or NG, so what could be our content per vehicle and with respect to as technology is getting upgraded, will we also see a higher realization per vehicle? That's my first question.
Yeah, certainly we see higher realization as the technology moves up. For example, you know, the hydrogen piston requires multiple areas to be attacked, you know, including hydrogen embrittlement and others. So there are a number of areas that we have to work on, and we expect higher realization as the technology moves up. So we have always ensured that we get that.
Can you please quantify it in terms of quantification
is a little difficult at this stage because many of these are under drawing board stage at this stage. So it will be very difficult to quantify at this stage, but you can be rest assured that you know, it will only go on the positive direction, not go in the southward direction.
Second question is broadly on the capital allocation strategy. So will be, so the company will be utilizing the cash flow generated from the core business to do an M&A on the emerging powertrain. So that could be the broadly the capital allocation strategy going forward, right?
Well, it all depends on the kind of M&A targets that we have. And, you know, it could be a mix of many, many things. So we can't at this stage say that this is what is going to happen. It's going to be a combination of many, many things. So very difficult to answer it purely on one side.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Kumar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you once again. I would like to express once again my sincere gratitude to everyone who joined on our maiden investor call today and contributing to this really very engaging discussion. We remain committed to pursuing our business strategies and doing everything that is right and continuing to deliver positive results. If you have questions or require any additional information, please do not hesitate to reach out to our investor relations team. Once again, on behalf of the company, I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks for your time and participation. Please do take good care and thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.